let's go ahead and get started. I got 133.
Yeah.
Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up our neighbors, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, lost loved ones, all their belongings. Minister to them by your Spirit, give them peace and comfort. Be with our commissioners today as they make decisions concerning our county. And God, we have so much to be thankful for. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay. Number one, open up court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Is there anyone? Sir, before you get started, for anybody that's going to speak, did anybody fill out the deal over there?
Just signing. There's not
Are
one.
Are we out? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's not one.
As long as they can spell your name right, that's the main thing that's for.
Okay. All right. I showed up today. I actually read an article.
Your name?
Chad Havens. The name H-A-V-E-N-S. For those that don't know me, I'm a local business owner. I own several businesses that operate in Orange County, and I own some businesses that operate in other counties as well. But primarily, Orange County is where I operate and where I live. I saw the article here titled "Crook Stance on Economic Development." I went through it. Obviously, with 3 minutes, I can't go through this with a lot of detail. But, you know, the first line of it was talking about the sharing of misinformation. It was my opinion in reading the article that there was quite a bit of one-sided information shared in this, almost as a propaganda piece to sway public interests that are, by and large, very uninformed. I'm not against articles like this by any means, but I supported you when you were originally elected. I don't support this article that you wrote. I would like, if you want to put information out there, it would be my preference that you show both sides of the coin. The article that was here seems to be very, very negative. And I know there's been a lot of discussion in the recent past about the economic development of Orange. Many things I saw in here. Talking about the county residents that have seen little or no return on their tax investment. I don't believe that's true. I know in the past the economic development and cities have gotten involved. You know, probably the best road in the county runs right through Pinehurst, concrete four-lane with a center median, and that was put in to bring Home Depot here. And that's probably one of the only roads that we haven't had to fix since it's been built. One of the things about this, with everything being so negative, I wanted you to realize that companies like Chevron, for instance, or DuPont or Firestone or any of those companies that bring people to our area, that money does stay here. When they buy land and they build houses, it does increase our tax base. They're spending their money here. They're paying taxes to the local schools. Hopefully, they're buying vehicles here. Not everybody shares my opinion on that, but if I go buy a vehicle, if a particular make of vehicle's made and it's sold in Orange, I do try to buy an Orange. I do drive a Cadillac also. They don't have one of those in Orange. I had to go elsewhere. But there's a lot of things that come from bringing big business into Orange. And looking at this, I'd like to say that I have an understanding of your stance on the tax abatement position, but I really don't. I know that's one aspect of it. But there's just such a more broad stance than what was written in this. The, you know, you made a comment in here that that you would tell people that business and consumers grow the economy, not the governments. So what I would ask of you, let the businesses come here and let more of the consumers that live here in our county work for these businesses. And you being the government, stay out of it. Those are the natural, that's the natural way that things happen. If people are here and they're making money, they're going to spend their money here for the most part. And I know there's arguments to both sides of that. But like any other investment, we should not put into it more than we can afford, and the dues paid by the members should be proportional. When you're talking about county growth, and I don't know how many people are sitting in here today that actually own businesses, but haven't owned multiple businesses, I'm going to tell you right now, there have been so many times where I've had to mortgage my house, or not necessarily mortgage my house, but put my house up for collateral on loans so that I could go out and make an intelligent, well-advised bet for the betterment of my business to grow it. And, you know, whenever I started Bridgefield Electric, we had 6-8 employees. We have over 150 now. But I had to invest in it, just like the county taxpayers have to invest in it, just like this court has to invest in it. And when you're dealing with these abatement agreements, I don't have a problem with the abatements, but what I do expect of all the commissioners and you, I do expect y'all, when you're making these deals with these companies, they're, you know, pass the abatement, I'm fine with that, but make sure that they're going to be utilizing county resources. That's the one thing I would ask of the court. Let the businesses come here. Do what you can to make it more agreeable to them, to where they want to accept the offer and bring their stuff here. But on the backside of it, make sure they're using county resources. The sales tax dollars are where the money's really at in the first place. You know, last I guess it was December, there was $1.36 million brought in sales tax, according to the Texas State Comptroller for the area. Now, that's all entities, and that's Bridge City, Orange, Pinehurst, Vidor, West Orange, Orange County, and the Orange County ESD number 3 in Little Cypress. But when you increase the population, those tax dollars tend to rise. So I'd like to see us moving forward with that. The other thing, you know, you made mention to the faltering drainage system. I've seen tons of ditches being dug out and lots of drainage improvements all over the county. And I'm sure there's always people that complain about that because you didn't get theirs yesterday. But still moving forward, there's something getting done all the time. And I'm really happy to see that from all the precincts, because I own property and I think all of them. But what I would like to see some focus on maybe is Cow Bayou and Adams Bayou. If you want to fix drainage, all the ditches you're digging out only go two places. And guess what? The county has no say-so in those. That's the Army Corps of Engineers.
You got it.
So until you drag them under this roof and make them come up with a plan, I think you're going to be struggling with that. But anyway, got off subject there just a hair, but it was in the article, so I wanted to say I did agree with that. And there are some good points in here, but it's so one-sided. It's so one-sided.
I'm not familiar with that article. Where could I read that article?
It's in the Orange Leader. It was published Monday, March 4th, 2019.
Okay, Orange Leader.
At 12:24 p.m. You can have my copy if you want it.
That, you keep it. I'll get me
one. Okay.
March 4th.
Yeah, I actually found it online.
Normally, like I say, we don't get into discussions during this.
I understand.
But I wanted to tell you, I'm always available. My door is open. Okay. If you would like to talk about it more, I will say this. Part of it is 9 pages was a bit much.
It was.
So, I mean, I could have kept on writing. But I would love to discuss it with you. Love to answer your questions. Don't have to agree. But I'd
absolutely
love to discuss it. So if you want to hang out until after we get done, hopefully we don't have a real long
we can do that
deal today. I'd be glad to talk with you.
We can do that.
All right. And anybody else?
Thank you. I'm Sam Waters. I've been a resident of Orange, mm-hmm. Orange County since 1987. I'm a former plant manager, property owner, small business owner. And I just came to speak for the abatements that are requested for Chevron Phillips, that project. I mean, I see it as an opportunity to not only bring that business here, but the others that are going to naturally flow from that much money that would be spent and the employees that will come here, it's no secret that that money is going to get cycled here. Maybe not all of it, but it will, a good part of it. The sales tax dollars that will flow back to the county, the small business owners, all the business owners in the area, I think, will benefit. I think it'd have a very beneficial impact on property values in the long term, the school systems, and we could use that. We need businesses like that that are willing to come here, risk their capital, and put people to work. Sure, there's, you know, you can look at it differently, but I just wanted to say that's how I look at it. And I know a number of people that I speak with in Rotary and around the community feel the very same way. We would love to see that welcomed here as opposed to putting up anything that would suggest otherwise. I'd hate to lose out on that opportunity. And with that said, that's really all I came to say.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Commissioners?
Well, since we're on economic development, I guess I'll throw what I think out there. When it comes to Chevron, for instance, you know, a lot of that property is on ag exemption. First thing that's going to happen, it's going to come off of ag exemption. You don't abate that. There'll be inventory taxes, and you'll start to see people flow in our community to build a place like that of that magnitude. And, you know, one day, not too long ago, we had a meeting here, and I asked somebody when DuPont was built, and I think it was in the mid-50s. And it's still there. It's still there. And so you do give an abatement. Abatement's for a limited time, but those properties will be there forever. They'll pay taxes forever. When you start looking at the companies, it'll pop up just to serve those companies. You know, Chad's a good example there. He may have to hire 50 more people if he gets some work out there. So business will expand. New businesses will locate here because they're going to need new businesses to serve them. And I just, when you start looking at the dollars that will start flowing through this, and I agree with what you said too. And Jefferson, was when they gave their presentation, they're trying to even increase the number of local business they do. And I think when that local dollar starts flowing through and a guy does business with you, then your guy needs to buy a car, he goes down to Sabine River and buys his car, and that dollar just keeps flowing through our community one time after another. You have to eat somewhere. You have to buy gas somewhere. So we're going to see a lot of businesses in here grow. We're going to see a lot more locate. I understand that we already had several businesses call about locating here after they've heard about the Chevron deal, mm-hmm. kind of getting in position and getting ready for it. So it's a good thing, an abatement. In a perfect world, we wouldn't give abatements. We'd start taxing right off the bat. But what they do is they go out and look for their best deal just like everybody else does, and they're going to go where and there's plenty of people who offer them the same deal that we're going to offer them. And so what they're going to do is they're going to go where their best deal is, and they want to be here, but they're not going to pay more to be here. So I think we have to work with them and do the best we can. And I think it's key that we indicate to everybody that we're business friendly and we're open for business.
And I think we have to be open as a court with open, just like with if you have a company or your home or whatever, you welcome people to be here and put that out that you are welcome here. And whatever we have to do to get this large of a business here, I don't even call that a business. It's so large. It would affect so much. And so many people here in Orange, they don't have a place to shop. They don't have a da-da-da-da. Well, you got to have people and money coming in before you can have that. And I think that something like that will spurn Orange. And Orange has a chance to turn around. And we've got to take every chance we have to do.
Well, first, I got two things. But first, we started today on the Entergy project in Bridge City on the drainage. We're replacing they started cutting the lines and stuff, but that we should see that work. I'm excited about that. That's been a long time coming to get that. Again, thanks to Sabine River Authority for their grant to help make that possible, and our road and bridge and the drainage district for doing the labor on all that. But I'm excited about that project finally getting underway. It was kind of nice when I woke up this morning. I really wasn't sure what that big yellow thing was in the sky, but it was nice to see it. But we're excited about that project, and I know our guys are working really hard to get that thing knocked out as soon as we can. And thanks again for Energy's. They're working with us on scheduling how they use their traffic flow in and out of that so we can get that project done, and that'll help us with our drainage on that side of Bridge City and that side of the county. So we're excited about that, and that started working on that today. All the materials and everything are in place to do that. So, again, I you know, economic development is a big thing for us. I support it. I support what we do with it. I support the abatement policies because of the competitive nature it takes to get these companies mm-hmm. to come. You know, I'm like everybody else. I want to do more in road repair, and I want to do more in drainage repair, but you got to have revenue. The only way you can get revenue is either you tax the base you have currently, and nobody wants to do that, or you grow your base and you grow your revenue stream, and then you can do more with the money that you get. And it's important just on that fact alone. Our school districts, the millions of dollars that have already come into Vider through the Jefferson Project, they get their money up front. This project, if it comes through, will help the Bridge City School District and the West Orange School District, who desperately need it. You know, there's a lot of money there. That stuff comes automatically. Those people benefit right now. And then the businesses that will come because of it, the homeowners that come and build and live here, you know, we've had people for years want growth here. This is our opportunity. We can't – I'm not willing to take a risk to be the best negotiator or to cut a better deal than the next guy because the other cities are putting everything they got on the table with, so should we. I don't think there's any other stance than that. That's just my opinion. But I know that we have got to do everything we can to do. There's too much at stake to let this go. There's too much at stake for us not to put the absolute best foot we can forward, stay as positive as we can about it, get these people to come here. Look, everybody's read the paper. We saw what Amazon did. It doesn't take a lot sometimes to make that happen and to aggravate that. We don't want to aggravate that. We want these people to come here with open arms, because the growth that they're going to bring to this community will be something we've never seen if we can get them here. And we haven't seen it since the days of DuPont. I mean, and so that's what the people have been asking for. That's how you solve your revenue stream, just like any other business. The way you grow your business is you grow your revenue stream and you put more customers in the door. And that's exactly how this is. We got to put more customers in the door. And the only way we're going to do that is to have business opportunity and jobs. And job growth creates it, and it gives us the money to do our infrastructure improvements that we need to do, that we don't have right now. You know, and none of us want to go to the tax base to get it that we currently have. We want to grow the tax base, and that answers the question. So I'll leave it at that for now, but that's my take. So,
bottom line is, we got to put out a positive message. You know, perception becomes reality, and if we're not putting out a positive message, it's seen. Not just inside our county, but outside. And I think Mr. Havens was touching on that message. You know, we don't always have to be totally unified, but we ought to be heading in the same direction with a positive image, a positive message. And I've made my stance on the economic development pretty obvious. I'll continue to do that, and I support us going forward. That's all I have.
Well, we've had a lot of talk about economic development, and I'd like to tell y'all a little bit about, because sometimes when you put something on paper, you know, you want to put it in words, your own words, and let people hear them for themselves. One of the things I'd like to point out here is that we cannot afford, as elected officials, as leaders of a community, business leaders of a community, to think in terms of black and white all the time, because it rarely happens. On those rare occasions it does, be grateful. But we have to think about things in terms of what is best. Which way can we go? There's rarely an answer that is 100% one way positive and one way negative. Having said that, we can disagree. That's true. On this court. And we can disagree about how we're going to get there. The argument then becomes, unfortunately, in the public, well, you're for economic development or you're against it. Nothing's further from the truth. We're really discussing how we get there. Well, how do we get there? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to take the politics and the emotion out of it. We have to look at it from a point of view of a practical issue, a business deal. If anybody thinks that's profound, you're welcome to give me credit for it, but I'm not the one who said it. A week ago, I met with, actually, over the past several months, I met with several business leaders, so I didn't just pick one, but a week ago, I met with the president and vice president of Jefferson Energy. That was the president's point of view. You have to look at things from the point of view of a business deal. They have people that do that and do it very well, and I actually applaud them for that. There is nothing wrong with the businesses coming in and taking a deal that is good for them. Commissioner Trahan is absolutely correct. That's what they're supposed to do. But the people of this county elected us to make the best deal for them. Somebody's got to look out for them. And that's what we're doing. Superintendent of Vidor ISD came in, and I thought he spoke very well a couple of weeks ago. And he said that if it hadn't been for, and again, I'm not, it was his example. If it hadn't been for Jefferson Energy, we would have been in dire straits after Harvey. Mm-hmm. Over $2 million in taxes. I said then, and I say again, the man's right. They would have probably been in dire straits. There was a lot of entities in dire straits that weren't that fortunate. But the county is no different than Vidor ISD in regards to we get our money by taxing, and we use that money for the things that the people want us to do. That's how we pay for it. The people that work at our sheriff's department, the people that work at our road and bridge, the people that work in our treasurer's office and purchasing and every other department we have, these are fine people, but they could not afford to do it for free. They have families to feed. We got to pay them, and we have to be competitive. As a matter of fact, as time goes on and these companies do come in, we're going to be competing for workers. Make no mistake about it. That's a good thing, by the way. But it is a growing pain. There are growing pains. My son went through several of them, and I wanted him to be healthy and strong, but Lord, I got tired of buying pants every 2 weeks. But he was outgrowing them. That's just the way that it is. We have to grow together, not apart. When I explained this to business owners that I spoke to in the area, not one of them disagreed with that. Matter of fact, I was very open and honest about the issues facing Orange County. The infrastructure issues that we have, the lack of raises over the past several years. Sheriff, I believe the Sheriff's Department is what, 8 years now? Or seven?
Since 2013.
2013. So six. Oh, that's better than I thought. 6 years. Imagine going 6 years without even a cost of living raise. We have to address these things. And we have to do that by generating revenue. Commissioner Gauthier is absolutely correct. You want to increase your base. There's only two other ways to make your bottom line. One is to cut things. We've cut things pretty hard. Matter of fact, some things we've cut we shouldn't have cut, and we're trying to fix them. And we cannot tax the people that are already being taxed more. They're already sitting around wondering if they want to stay in a place where they can't go on vacation because they're afraid their house will flood, or their road's bad, or whatever it is. So the only way to do it is to increase your base. Well, if we increase our base, then we need to be more creative in the deals that we're making. Because if we increase our base and put it out 5 years or 7 years or 10 years or more at 100%, we don't generate that revenue. And I would ask the people of Orange County, because that's who I represent. Those are my bosses, all of them. Even though they don't always agree, it's really hard sometimes to figure out what the majority of them want. But my job's to represent them, their job's to represent them in their precincts. How long do you want to wait? How long do you want to wait before we fix it? 5 years? I'm not going to have the revenue. It's just that simple. 7 years? 10 years? It's really an important question. I think that's why we have to be more creative. I think that's why we need to make our offers with the thought in mind that we have bills 10 years from now, but we have bills now. And I think that if we approach the businesses in an honest and open atmosphere about that, they're going to understand that. We'll figure out a different way to do it. There's more than one way to give an incentive. There's more than one way to get business in here. And we can do that. And as a matter of fact, I submit to you that we have to do that. If we don't do that, we're going to have problems. For the past 20 years, and that's just as far back as I went, I pulled up a whole bunch of abatements, a whole bunch of incentive deals that have been made. And they've been made for a ton of time. There was one 9 years, 100% for $1 million project. I'm sure there was a good reason for it at the time. It was 10, 11 years ago. But my question to that would simply be, was it really worth it? Did we get enough out of it to make a difference? Were we transparent about it? Were the people okay with it? I don't think that it helped our economic development cause by giving something away that big. The point about it is, people have come up to me and said the same thing more than once in different ways. The one that bothers me the most is when they come up and they say, Orange County's dying. Judge, Orange County's dying. Well, I don't think Orange County's dying. But I do agree that sometimes we're on the wrong path. And they point to specific things. This is broke. This hasn't been fixed in years. This is worse than it's ever been. Well, we've been doing this for 20 years. Maybe we need to rethink our deals. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Nothing wrong with reevaluating and coming up with different ideas. Nothing wrong with that at all. It bothers me when we decide we want to hamstring ourselves and not do that. We need to ask questions. That's my stance on it, and that's the way I feel about it. As for the homes, as for the people coming in that are going to work, that's absolutely true. It does add to it. If 50 people came in right now to Orange County to work at a business that was given an incentive, and each one of them not bought, because we're already getting taxes on that, but built a brand new $250,000 home and took no tax cuts on it, no homestead exemption, no ag exemption, just paid because they're that altruistic, we'd be looking at around $67,000 a year more in taxes. So if we've given an abatement that costs more than that, well, then we're kind of behind there, and we're going to have to make up for that if we have additional infrastructure issues. Not saying that it's not worth doing the deal. I'm simply saying we need to be transparent about that. We need to think about that when we make that deal. We need to think about the fact that if a business is abated for 10 years and it's a $100 million investment, is it going to be worth $100 million in taxable income, taxable revenue for the county at $100 million? Probably not. You can't really tax the labor that went into building it. I have some tax records that support that, but it's not important. If you want, we can get down in the weeds, but we'll do that at another time, maybe in a workshop or something. But the important thing is in 10 years, is it going to be worth that same amount? Well, not according to the appraisal district. The businesses will depreciate. They don't raise like homes raise. They're appraised on a different, in a different way. They're a cost-based appraisal, whereas homes are value-based. These are all things that aren't necessarily roadblocks to making a deal, but they are things we need to be transparent about and things we need to recognize when we make these deals. So we're doing good by the people today and doing good by the people 10 years from now. That's what our job is. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit up here and claim it's easy. It takes a lot of work. But it is something that we have to do. And our job is to watchdog that. And I think we can work together to do that. But we have to be able to sit down and ask questions, hard questions, and get real answers. I do want folks to know that Orange County is open for business. I don't want people or businesses or the federal government, for that matter, to feel like we're open for exploitation. We need to be open, and we need to be open wisely. And I think we can work better at that. I think everything can be improved. There's nothing I can tell you right now that I've ever seen that we do perfectly. We can always improve. And I think there's room for improvement here. Anyway, I don't want to take more than my 3 minutes either. I hope I didn't.
You did.
Sorry. I apologize. I won't speak at all next week, I promise. Moving on to number two, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court revenue received from City of Rose City, check number 16590 for $158.88. These funds are reimbursement for road materials.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Second. Three and one. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number three, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $98,561.18 to Wendorf, Beward & Partners from the general fund, 036-952-53900 to pay for administrative work performed to secure FEMA CDBG-DR funding needed for Hurricane Harvey recovery. What else?
Schedule a bill by funded department as follows. Fund 1, general fund, $234,460.94. Fund 2, road and bridge, $14,964.88. 3, mosquito control, $559.11. Fund 6, adult probation, $922.60. Airport, $13,531.50. And other funds, $413.75. That's a total of $264,852.78.
Do we have a little more explanation of what Wendolph Breward and Partners has done for this $98,000?
Well, Wendolph Breward and Partners are our group that puts in for the funds from FEMA, CDBG, and our grants. And when we do, we've done four different blocks so far. We're on the fourth task order, and this is broken down into their payments for those task orders.
So are
they monitor the number of hours they work.
Are they on a commission, or are they on a...
Yes.
And they actually turn that in.
I guess where I have a hard time is because the grant administrators I've worked with in the past worked for their percentage of whatever grant they got. It's just a lot of money we're paying them, and what if they don't produce any grants?
Well... they already have, so we know they've produced far more than we've paid at this point. But if you want a detailed analysis, we can certainly, Ms. Beward, she's usually very accessible. We can have her come to court. And it might be a good idea for you.
I think it'd be good.
Yeah, and for everybody, for the media, for y'all, it'd be great.
Where are they from?
They've come in pretty regularly.
They came in once.
It'd probably be a good time to do that.
Where are they from?
Joel and Michelle.
I think they're based in Houston.
Okay.
Right. And actually, I believe Ms. Beward herself is from around San Antonio. Mm-hmm.
Okay. West Texas.
That's all I have.
Okay. We do have a motion from one to pay the bills.
Second.
One and two. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number four, discussion and possible action regarding acceptance of the 2019 expenditure statement, 2018 data, as released to the Tobacco Settlement Distribution Program for submittal to the Texas Department of State Health Services and to authorize county judge to sign same.
I called yesterday to find out. I guess I talked to you, didn't I? And I just want people to know this because I did not know. What this money, I didn't understand it really, but this money goes to pay for indigent care in the jails. It goes to pay for the jail. It goes to pay for the jail nurses. Makes reimbursements to the jail, and it helps pay for the prisoner's expense. Is that correct?
Indigent health care.
Yeah. Health care of the prisoner's expense.
We actually report what would be considered unreimbursed health care for inmates and indigent care at the clinic.
Because I didn't understand it, and so I want other people to know.
I had provided just the backdrop, but I didn't have the history for you guys because I didn't know who knew what.
Well, I thank you for
you're welcome.
Helping.
And I believe, if you don't mind, I'll tell them the discussion we had. Although the settlement was rather large, the portion for Orange County is very, 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 very small.
That's right.
Percentage of that.
That's right.
I think, what are we, around 20 or 30,000
For this year, we had a little over, probably almost $33,000 come back. But these are from historically way back from when the tobacco settlements were made, and then that comes from the State Department of Health. And so they're splitting that up across the world, the state and the country. And so we get a little piece of that pie back every time we submit this report.
Well, I would make a motion to accept this and to authorize the judge to sign for it.
Okay. I'll second.
Two and four. One.
Okay.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Wowzy.
Number five, discussion and possible action for approval to purchase a Coach 1300 direct drive wheel balancer for the Sheriff's Office Sheriff's Office vehicle fleet mechanic at a cost of $4,568. The old balancer was purchased in 2008, is no longer operational, and cannot be repaired. This is not a 2018-19 budget capital outlay approved item. If the court approves the purchase, the Sheriff's Office will purchase this item with current existing funds.
I make a motion to purchase this. Obviously, you need it. He's going to tell me about it. You're going to sell it to me. You've already sold it to me. Go.
Wasn't going to say anything.
Go, Keith. Go.
You know when you know what they say, when you make the sale, you got to know when to stop.
I just stood up in case there was any questions to ask on what and what our intentions were.
No, I think it's pretty
simple. Question I have,
really, is pretty clear.
Is how often we use this machine, and is a way to group it together? I'm just trying to figure out.
You know, that had been discussed before. I think Road and Bridge is the only other department in Orange County that actually does this, and it would be difficult to do that.
To share it.
The machine has to be stationary in one place. I don't know of a portable one that I know of, and this is just unexpected. We didn't expect this one to go out. It was actually going to be on the list for our capital outlay for this coming end of this year for next year's budget, and
we looked at trying
to repair it, and we got a few people to come out, and they said it's just not worth it. But kind of to answer your question, with 86, 87 vehicles, we go through a lot of tires.
I guess my hopeful thinking was a way that y'all both could use it so we wouldn't buy one over here and one over there, you know, but it doesn't sound like that's really a possibility.
I don't think that would be really feasible to be able to do that.
It would be tough.
Okay. That was the only thought I had on that.
So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion.
I'll second that.
Two and three. One,
eight,
two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three,
aye.
Four. Aye. Number six, discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer in the Sheriff's Office from 001-740-57550, repairs, rental, construction, etc., amount of $4,750 to 001-740-57595, equipment, for $4,750, and the purpose is to provide funds to purchase a Coach 1300 direct drive wheel balancer. Is the extra for tax?
Just a little cushion there. We're hoping to actually maybe get a little bit cheaper until Connie actually would go out and look. It may be a little bit cheaper, so just trying to give ourselves some wiggle room.
Cheaper would be good.
But
it's got to last.
Yes.
I make a motion we pay for the action we took in that item before.
That just take it.
I'll second that.
Four and one. One.
Hey.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Okay. Number seven, discussion of possible action regarding court's approval for Sheriff Merritt to allow retired investigator Gary Hinton to purchase his assigned duty firearm. The firearm is a Glock 40 caliber Model 22, serial number PZG586. The replacement cost is $409, and the check will be turned over to the Treasurer's Office for deposit. Once approved, the firearm will be deleted off the Sheriff's Office inventory. The purchase is authorized under the authority of the Texas Government Code, Chapter 614.051.
This is one of many that we've had over the last several years. Actually, I was kind of curious, and I went back and looked since October of 2016, including these two here, which is the next one also. We've had 10 to utilize this the statute in the government code that allows them to do it. So.
This isn't anything unusual.
No.
No, ma'am.
It's pretty standard.
I think their sidearm they carry for years is kind of like a blanket to a child. Got to have their blanket.
I won't get into some of the weird relationship.
I understand. I was trying to kind of do a roundabout comment.
Before we digress
too
far, I'll make a motion we approve that I've heard.
I tried to put it a different way there, Sheriff.
Make a motion so we can move forward.
Well, we'll leave it at that.
I have a motion from three, and I believe seconded by one. Oh, one?
Aye.
Judge, aye, three?
Aye. Let's get out of this one quick.
Yeah. Well, at the risk of doing it again. Yeah. Number eight, discussion and possible action regarding court's approval for Sheriff Merritt to allow retired Captain Don Harmon to purchase his assigned duty firearm. The firearm is a Colt AR-15A3 carbine caliber .223 with serial number LBD007608. The replacement cost is $631.61, and the check will be turned over to the treasurer's office for deposit. Once approved, the firearm will be deleted off the sheriff's office inventory. The purchase is authorized under the authority of Texas Government Code Chapter 614.051.
Statute basically says that whatever they're assigned, they have their choice. Obviously, they can't pick all three of them, so they kind of have their choice. This is actually the first one of this kind that we've had where they chose something other than the Glock 40 caliber. So I did go back and review the statute just to make sure, and that is correct.
Okay. Is there any optics, or is it just standard iron sights?
Standard iron sights. The optics they're supplied by the individual. Okay. And each time one of these come up, We check current prices of them because they do fluctuate some, because the statute's very clear that you can't let it go cheaper than what the replacement cost is, but you can't sell it for more than what it's no. worth either. So
so y'all found a Colt AR-15A3 for $631. Really?
When you buy, when you buy about 40 or 50 of them at once, you get a little bit cheaper price. So
that's okay. I don't need 40.
You want 40 at one time?
I make a motion to approve this one also.
Sheriff, I did have one question. Do we buy 5.56 or 223?
223.
Okay. That's kind of surprising to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I make that motion.
I'll second. That's good. Got it. Two and one? One?
Hey.
Two?
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three?
Aye.
Four?
Aye.
Just one thing before you go on to the next one, it kind of falls under the category with the losing of these two officers. It was about 46 years of experience with just these two alone. Of course, mm-hmm. Captain Harmon had been about 35, 36 years at the Sheriff's Department. It's the only job he ever had since he got out of high school.
Wow.
Went into the military. He was an MP in the military, which is law enforcement. Come straight from there in to the Sheriff's Department, so he's never had a job other than here. So we're very pleased to have had him. But I caught tail end of what you were saying a while ago when I walked in, and it's tough to replace these guys with those kind of years of experience. And we're kind of struggling a little bit, but we'll make it. So.
Number nine, discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer, Justice of the Peace Precinct 1, from 001-225-59999, other, in the amount of $8,700, to 001-225-57500, equipment non-inventory, in the amount of $8,700. The purpose is to provide funds to purchase scanners and computers.
So moved, Judge. I actually had a discussion with Herschel about this last week.
Oh, I did.
I did.
We need to coordinate that better.
Lots of discussion about it.
But judges have to have three or four conversations.
Yeah, so moved on that.
I'll second that.
All right.
Yeah.
One.
Hey.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
I'm sorry. It was a three and one. Number 10, discussion and possible action authorizing adult probation to purchase a Konica Minolta BizHub 458E copier for $4,932. This was a budgeted item and will be paid for from the bond supervision fees expense 006-298-23982. The annual maintenance fee will be $396 and will be paid for from the contract service and maintenance fund 001-298-54130. Anything you want to tell us about the copier, Ms. Comers?
There was a misunderstanding, I think, between me and Penny. This had been approved a couple of months ago, and I was not aware of it. So now I need official approval to go ahead and buy it. But it's something that was been in my budget, my bond fee. So.
Okay. Is it your birthday?
Yes, because that's...
Oh, don't start that.
Okay. It's the only way we do copiers around here. It's birthday.
Too many people have birthdays every year.
Every day.
So moved.
One and three?
Yes.
One?
Eight.
Two?
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three?
Aye.
Four?
Aye.
Number 11, discussion and possible action regarding the renewal agreement between Orange County and Southern Supply, Inc. for IFB 18003 for fire extinguisher inspection, fire panel inspection, fire sprinkler inspection, hood suppression inspection, fire pump inspection, FM200 fire suppression inspect, pressure test, and door fan test. Renewal period shall be March 13, 2019 through March 12, 2020. Action by the court shall include approval for Orange County judge to sign the same.
And this would be just an extension of the contract, and all other terms and conditions will remain the same.
Connie, how long have we had this contract?
This is the first renewal.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a reason why we don't want to go out and bid and see if we get some cheaper?
Well, that's what I wrote down.
Well, and this is the first renewal on this, and Missy's worked really hard on this, and I talked with her. And she did ask if we could renew it. But, I mean, if you all want to go out for bids, we can certainly do that again.
How long was this contract we were under?
Just for a year.
And 1 year.
So a year ago was just, I'm okay with that. I just, anytime we do a renewal, we're not going out for bids, I want to ask a few questions to make sure I understand.
Because when we did it last year, we did go out for bids on it. This was the group that came in, because we switched, we changed.
Right.
I'm okay with it.
Y'all okay enough to make a motion?
Yes, I'm okay to make a motion. Let's make a motion to renew the agreement between Orange County and Southern Supply for fire extinguisher inspection, fire panel inspection, fire sprinkler inspection, hood suppression inspection, fire pump inspection, fire suppression inspect, pressure test, and door fan test.
I'll say.
When's that renewal period going to be?
The renewal.
I'm going to go ahead and go. We have a motion from two, seconded by four. One.
A.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Okay. And number 12, discussion and possible action regarding adjourning Commissioner's Court meeting.
So moved.
Second.
One and three. One.
A.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Clark.
I got 221.